listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Our Getting to Know the Council of Presidents series takes us to South Dakota today to meet the fourth vice president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University St. Paul. You can learn more about Concordia University St. Paul at csp.edu.
Joining us today, the Reverend Dr. Nabil Noor. He serves as fourth vice president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pastor Noor, welcome to The Coffee Hour.
Thank you for having me, and I did have coffee just a few moments ago, so that's great.
Very good. So you're all ready for the coffee hour, and you've had your coffee, so that means you are prepared for the lightning round.
Yes.
Are you ready, sir?
Of course.
All right, first question. Favorite color?
Red.
Mm-hmm. All right. You wear red quite frequently. Ah, now I know.
I do, actually. I do. And I will be wearing that this coming Sunday because I'm preaching for the 125th anniversary of a congregation in South Dakota, too. So that's wonderful.
Very good. Okay. Favorite cuisine?
Middle Eastern food. It's called kafta, K-A-F-T-A. The closest I can say it like meatloaf, but with variety of different toppings.
Mm. Mm. Have you had kefta before?
I have not.
Oh, it's good.
You'll have to come to my house and I'll fix it.
Okay.
There's spices in it too. Yeah. Okay. We're going to have to unpack that probably. All right. Favorite book? And Pastor, we know you love the Bible. We know you study the Lutheran confessions. You can add to that.
My favorite book of the scripture is Philippians, all of it. I mean, pretty much memorized that book backward and forward because Paul was a prisoner. And so that's one of the greatest books that I love. And the other one that is for pleasure, that I may know him. And that is absolutely wonderful for me.
All right, a very important question. What is your favorite office supply?
My favorite office supply?
Yes.
This is important.
I guess the one who is handy. I don't know, I suppose. The one, whatever. I don't really have any specific in particular because normally at the church I was not responsible for those things. But what, like right now, probably Staples.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They hold things together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Pastor. Favorite dessert?
Wow. Apple, actually, pecan pie with a little ice cream. That is my favorite.
That is an excellent choice. All right, favorite vacation destination?
Well, I go to Israel every year. The best vacation, it will be right on the Sea of Galilee. That's where I grew up, kind of, and swimming in it. I've been around the world, but just being in the sea where Jesus spent time is absolutely enlightening and enjoyable.
All right. Favorite hymn?
O God, O Lord of heaven and earth, 834 in LSB.
An excellent choice. That is
thank
a
you.
All right.
Actually, we went to our former church because somebody was playing the saxophone and he chose it specifically because he knew I was coming to the church.
Mm. Wise choice. All right, last one. Favorite time of day?
Early in the morning. Just at dawn. Where the dawn is breaking is my favorite time in the morning, an early riser.
Pastor, tell us about where you grew up. You mentioned that a little bit already in the lightning round.
Yeah, well, I was born in Nazareth, and I'm honored and privileged to ask the question, can anything really good come out of Nazareth? I have that privilege, and I say, yes, it's not me, it's only one thing, and that's Jesus. So I was born in Nazareth. At 3 years old, my family moved to Haifa, which literally means beautiful, right on the slopes of Mount Carmel and close to the Mediterranean Sea. I grew up there and lived there, primarily on the mountain area, and then migrated to this country in 1972 at age 16 without any English skills. I had few words in my vocabulary, but I couldn't hold the conversation.
Tell us what that experience was like growing up in Israel and emigrating to the United States. What was that like for you?
Well, growing up in a home that is just solid as solid can get, because we are family oriented and we function different than the guy in the West, United States specifically. We have an honor shame society. So the biggest thing is you don't want to bring any shame to your family. There was a large family. I come from 9 family members plus mom and dad, and almost all my friends and cousins had the same size family. Love being together with family, love being together around meals where my aunts and my mother, grandpa, grandma, all of those were together. And we would spend fun and elated time together telling the stories of the past. Love to sit at my uncle's feet as he tells us about the olden days and what they went through and all of those things. And migrating here was completely different. But living there was just solid family. And all of us lived so close because the city of the country is very close. So most of the family are within 20 minutes away from each other.
So somewhere in there began a journey to seminary to become a pastor. Where would you like to begin that story?
Well, I migrated to this country, like I said, in 72, and I had really no desire to stay here. I wanted to go back. I didn't like the culture. I did not like the food, specifically mashed potatoes and gravy, because it just didn't look appealing, even though I do eat it every once in a while, not often. And then I met a beautiful lady that I was not willing to go home without, who happens to be my beloved queen of 49 years of marriage. So I've known her actually for 51 years. And when I met her, I decided to stay here, married her. And then she happened to be Lutheran. I attended the Lutheran church. I took adult instruction, became an elder, became a youth counselor. And through that, I had two particular people in my life, actually more over time, but two particularly in my life who encouraged me to become a pastor. One was Tom Muckow, who is sainted now. He was my assistant youth counselor for 5 years. And every Sunday morning, he would come in and say, "Brother Nabil, you're missing your call. You should be a pastor." And I would say, "Just shut up. I don't want to be a pastor." Then I got a phone call from the then my pastor at the church in Sioux Falls. His name is Howard Chain. He is my spiritual father. And I'm still in contact with him. He said, "Nabil, would you come in and visit with me?" And I sat in the office, and I was the youth counselor. I thought, "Oh, something happened. I did something bad that he wants to tell me about." Because you never get called to the office of the pastor, right? Anyway, we sat, we chatted. He says, "I've been watching you." And he reached into his wallet and he said, "I would like you to go to this place." And I looked at this picture in his wallet that he gave me. I says, "What is this?" And he says, "This is the St. Louis Luther's Tower. I think you need to be there." I says, "Not you too." And then, of course, along the way, conversation led, and I said, "Okay, Lord, if this is what you want me to do, here I am. Let me go and do it."
All right. So what was it like going to seminary? What were your experiences like in seminary?
Well, it was really arduous. I went through Greek boot camp. And that's when you go 10 weeks in the summer. And it was a big challenge for me, A, because I had come here without English skill, and I wasn't raised in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, so I was behind most of my students. I had to learn not only the Greek language, but I had to learn proper English so that you can understand the Greek. And it was a very wonderful experience, even though it was arduous. It forced me to do the best I can, because none of my family had ever gone beyond graduate school. So I was the only one who has gone this high at that time. And remember what I said, we live in honor, shame, and I did not want to bring any shame. So I studied very hard. did well at the seminary. Life wasn't always easy. At one point, I was going to quit because I was not learning the Greek fast enough. And I was, I had made up my mind that I was quitting and was sitting underneath Luther's tower. And I was bawling. I was just crying. And I said, Lord, I can't do this. I don't know the language. I just can't do it. And then a man came, put his shoulder, his hand on my shoulder and said, Brother Noah, what's wrong with you? Well, I couldn't answer, but the man that was there was at the time the president of our seminary, Dr. Carl Barth. And he gave me a wonderful advice. He says, Brother McGill, don't compare yourself to anybody else. When you go to visit somebody, they are not going to say, Pastor, what did you get on your Greek test? They are going to say, Pastor, would you share the word of God with me? And that was the beautiful turning point. And then I also had my spiritual father, Dr. Louis Brighton. And I would always come home from class and I would say to my beloved queen, if I could only be a 1% of Dr. Brighton, I could serve this church well. I looked up to him so much. And he was a great, confident counselor for me. He challenged me. He always drove me to do the better than I did the last time. So I was very blessed that way to go to the seminary in St. Louis. I had a great education, had great friendship, played soccer at the seminary, played ping pong at the seminary against Dr. Veltz, who was really a competitor in every essence of the way. And I survived. So that was a great blessing and joy.
We're talking with Reverend Dr. Nabil Noor. He serves as fourth vice president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We'll continue our conversation and getting to know the Council of Presidents here on the Coffee Hour in just a moment. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth. Who am I? How has God gifted me? Where is God calling me to serve? Concordia University St. Paul helps students explore the answers to these questions. Through a Christ-centered Lutheran higher education, dedicated faculty, and engaging academic programs, CSP is here to walk alongside you in your educational journey. With more than 100 degree programs from undergraduate to graduate offered in person and online, CSP aims to prepare you for success however God calls you. Visit csp.edu to discover and engage your calling today.
Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We are in our Getting to Know the Council of Presidents series today. We are talking with Reverend Dr. Nabil Noor. He serves as fourth vice president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. So in our story, we're talking about life at seminary, being a student at seminary. Where did life go then? Where did life bring you after your studies at seminary?
I was richly blessed, and I was called, which surprised me, that I went back to South Dakota to a community just under 1,000 population at the time called Armour, South Dakota. And I served in that vineyard for 21 plus years in one location. And I had been the longest pastor at that place. And that was the place we call home, even for my children today. You ask them, what is home? They will say Armour, South Dakota. It was a wonderful experience. Loved being a pastor. My favorite thing was to go out and visit people in their homes and having coffee with them and pecan pie. And my congregation knew I loved pecan pie. And I'll come into the office and there'll be a pecan pie on my office, on my desk. Thank you, Pastor. No name. Mm-hmm. So it happened often. And so during that period of time, the Lord was working on my life and in my heart, as well as the saints of Armour. So I was blessed to be there for 21 years. And I tried to teach them as much Hebrew as I could So the majority of my sermons, at least the first year, was all from the First Testament. And what I kept hearing, oh, we didn't know this, we didn't know this, we didn't know this. So that was just a joyful, joyful, joyful time in my life.
Where did your path take you from there to eventually becoming fourth vice president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod?
Actually, I was vice president while I was there. First, I became a vice president of the district, second vice president, first vice president. I was also a visitor, circuit visitor along with that. While I was serving as a vice president of the district, I was asked by a colleague, would I mind if he would put my name in for the vice presidency? And I said, well, I'm already a vice president. He says, no, for Synod. I says, oh, shut up. Who knows me? He says, you'll be surprised. I did. And then a few months later, I get a phone call from Dr. Harrison. He says, Brother Nabil, this is Matt Harrison, which I had met before a couple of times. And could you work with me, he said. And I thought, well, that's odd. I said, sure. I can work with anybody who loves the Lord. And then during the nomination process, I had to have open heart surgery. And I was recovering from my open heart. And I was getting on this one day, like in March, I was getting a text message one after the other, congratulations. And I had no clue what they were talking about. I said, what are you talking about? Said, haven't you read the Lutheran Witness? I said, no, I barely walk. Found out that I had the highest nomination that came from our region, the Great Plains region. And then in 2013, I was elected to be one of the vice presidents. And I think I was the fifth vice president. Then I went to the third vice president. And now I'm in the fourth vice president.
So what are the duties of a vice president, particularly fourth vice president? What do you get to do? What are your responsibilities?
Well, there's really no difference between, the only difference between us is second through sixth are all the same. We are at the disposal of, maybe a different way would be better, whatever the president needs us to do. So if the president says, Nabil, I need you to go to this place to cover for me or preach for me in my behalf, then I do those. So whatever the president does, primarily, we are a support for the president. We work very closely with him. We are in communication quite often, once or two or three times, sometimes even five times a week, back and forth with discussion about issues. We pray for the president. We work closely with him, and we try to convey to the saints in the region where we are at, if there are any issues that we can deal or can help you with, we are here to support. So primarily we work together. There's no difference between the third or the fifth or the sixth. We are all servants of the church at large. We support the president and we communicate on behalf of the president when he is not available that we would go there. So the other duty that goes with it is I attend all the conventions in my region, as well as we do the visitation of, according to our bylaws, to visit the region, the district that my region is in. And so we go to these places either with the president or with the first vice president. And we convey to them and listen to them and how can we do things better. And in the process, always to edify the saints and bring glory to God.
How is serving as a parish pastor in the past? I understand you're retired now, but serving as a parish pastor, how has that helped you in this role of serving as a vice president of the Synod and being able to travel and meet people and talk to people and represent Synod? How is that relationship between being a parish pastor and serving in this role?
Well, I think it just made me a better pastor, because when you are a vice president and you travel and you meet people from all around the world, you realize even a small community like Armour, South Dakota, has a place in the kingdom and in the vineyard of God. I guess the one thing that I did not realize before I became a pastor, a vice president, is how much work we do together, since we can't do, everything alone. We do it together. And how wonderful it is to know the grace of God at work in so many people's lives. It shows you the church with a wide angle picture. Because I'm working in Armour, but man, there are people all over the world who worship the same God, who have the same confessions we do, who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And they want in their neighborhood to be the man and the woman God has chosen them. That is really humbling, to the point to see how many people love Jesus, know Jesus, and follow Jesus. It is amazing when I travel. And people will come and say, oh, Pastor, I heard you preach that sermon that touched my heart. Thanks be to God for putting these words upon my lips and in my heart to speak. But the joy of knowing there are other Christians who are struggling in the same way, other Christians who are attempting to live as a beacon of hope in this miserable world and broken world, it is so uplifting, and I often think and thank God for David's word, how sweet and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell in unity. And I think of the unity we have in the gospel, the unity we have in our confessions, the unity of the grace of God and the mercy of God, whether rich or poor, whether Palestinian or German or Norwegian, we are all one in Christ, because he paid the ultimate price of shedding his blood on Calvary's cross, was buried in a borrowed tomb, and on the third day rose to guarantee our physical resurrection and eternal life. I don't think there's anything in this world more sweet or precious than these gifts that God gives to us.
Pastor Neuer, why are you a pastor in the LCMS today?
Why am I a pastor? The greatest answer I can tell you, because I want to serve Jesus and his people. Because he said, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. I never would have chosen that vocation as my own, because I did not want to be a pastor. You heard me say that. For 9 years, I fought the urge to be a pastor. But after people were encouraging me, and I realized it doesn't depend on my past, because I was a rotten kid and got in a lot of trouble, and I didn't think I would be good enough. You read the Apostle Paul, a former persecutor of the church, becomes the greatest preacher by the mercy and grace of God. And so in the same way, to be a pastor is to bring the gift to people who long to hear a word of hope in midst of hopelessness. To be a pastor is to bring the light to those who are still in darkness, so that they might see the bright future that Jesus has burned for them. To be a pastor is to say, Andy, take and eat. Sarah, take and drink the precious life-giving body and blood. To be a pastor is to be by Aunt Martha at the hospital, just about to depart from this world, and to bring the comforting gospel. To be a pastor is when someone who is suicidal, trying to take his own or her own life, and bring them the hope of glory that is found only in the living Christ. There is no more precious thing that we can do, and you cannot put a price on that. As I told my congregations many times, I would do this for nothing, and yet you still pay me for it. Because I have a plaque that says, work for the Lord, the pay isn't much, but the retirement is out of this world. And that is the reality. We don't work for the silver and the dollar or the gold or the shekel. We work so that others may be included in the family of God.
Absolutely. Before we wrap up, we're going to circle back to the lightning round. And I would like to know, pecan pie is a part of your story. And I'm very curious when you realized that you loved pecan pie so much.
Well, again, I grew up in the Middle East, so we don't have pies over there. We have a lot of pastry, like baklava. Mm. You've ever known about me, I always bring baklava with me to the COP meetings, or the Presidium meetings. So I always travel with baklava, which we grew up with. But I've never really had pecan pie until I came here. And one time, we were at a potluck, and you know, Midwest potlucks are unbelievable. And somebody brought pecan pie, and I said, well, I'll try it. And man, that was just breathtaking. It was my mouth and was just all the tingling of the, you know, the taste that you would have. And then the lady that made it, well, Pastor, wait a minute. You got to put a little ice cream on top of this. And she had brought the ice cream, and she put a big scoop on it. And so till today, it is one of my favorite pecans, favorite pie. And it's a joy to have it homemade. You cannot compare something that is baked at Costco or some other place. But when you have somebody who put the labor of love into it, it's just delicious.
Okay, since we're talking about food, I know we normally only do two of the lightning round, but there are two in addition to what Sarah asked that I want to dig into a little bit. One, a simple recipe for kefta, and then two, I want to talk about your favorite time of day. So first, let's talk about kefta, favorite like simple
kefta
recipe.
Kefta is a ground lamb with cinnamon, allspice, salt and pepper. You mix it all together with lots of parsley and lots of onion. You lay it flat on a 9x12, and the way I do it, I like to make it fancy, so I put potatoes on the side and cross them. And as well, then sometimes they put tomato sauce on top of it. It's a dish of dishes that I cherish, and I make it often for my family. And I like to have lamb for that because it is just a little bit, I mean, I can use beef, and I have used beef, but I try to mix it, you know. If I can't get all lamb, then I'll mix it with beef. But it's easy to do, probably 45 minutes total work, and it is absolutely delicious.
Now I'm hungry.
I'm so hungry right now.
You mentioned...
Sorry, but you're welcome to come here. I told you that before.
You mentioned that your favorite time of day is early in the morning at dawn. What is special about that time of day? What do you like to do early morning at dawn?
Well, the first thing I like to do, I make my own mixture of tea that I drink, my own self, and I won't give any recipe on that. But then I love to spend about an hour or two just in the Word of God. When I begin that way, then I have my morning just absolutely delicious with a cup of coffee too. After my tea, I have that. But the first hour and a half to 2 hours, I'm in the Word. So I do Luther morning prayer in Arabic. I do the Lord's Prayer in Arabic, and then I do the Apostles' Creed. Once I get those finished, then I start. I have like 5 or 6 different books that I read daily for my devotion. So I don't just have one book of devotion. I have a multitude of books One of them is God granted by C.F.W. Walther. Of course, as the portals of prayer, and I have others. Some of them are in Arabic, but I get also, and I do get one from the colleagues that will send me. So I do spend a lot of time in the Word of God, because the Word is living, and when you are digesting, and we say that in the collect, inwardly digest the Word of God. And it is beneficial, you know, as the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, it's for reproof, for correction, for rebuke, and the blessings of others. It is just sets your tone apart. When I don't do it, I know that I am missing something.
The Reverend Dr. Nabil Noor, 4th Vice President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pastor Noor, thank you so much for spending this time with us today and helping us get to know you a little better.
Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Sarah. May the Lord bless you both as you continue to share God's grace and look forward.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour is a production of KFUO. This program and our station are dependent on listeners just like you. To support KFUO Radio, our podcast, and all the other programming, please make your gift or pledge today at kfuo.org/give and help us continue sharing the good news of Christ for you anytime, anywhere. kfuo.org/give.